I have often wondered, why do we get together on Sunday morning? What is the bottom line? Why we come? If in the business world, they will look at the bottom line is profit. If there's no profit, they'll shut down, declare bankruptcy, or be out of business. True? In professional sports, Seattle Seahawks, Seattle Supersonics, bottom line for them is winning. If they lose it, the players will be gone, the coaches will be gone. Right? So how about us? When we come together, we call church. What's the bottom line? What's the bottom line we expect? Every time we come together, we call ourselves church, singing, shouting, music. I mean, you name it. What's the bottom line? And I believe the bottom line is the assurance of the awesome presence will come down in the midst of his people, and he will meet every need. I sense that this morning. I sense that. And I felt rejuvenated this morning sitting there. Felt like I went to Kumbanad already. Having those Malayalam songs and just stirring my heart. From the very beginning on, as I walked in here and sat in the Pastor Matthew's Bible class, and then the first songs that you started with, Aradhana, and he was emphasizing on sacrifice. That's exactly what God laid in my heart to share with you, the results and the benefits of worship. If you turn with me to Book of Revelation, chapter 11. Pastor Matthews, I want to make sure I did open the Bible here, okay? That was a good word of exhortation. That's good to know. Revelation chapter 11, verses 1 and 2. Thank you. In English, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers there. But exclude the outer courts. Do not measure it because it has been given to the Gentiles. They will trample on the holy city for 42 months. Gracious Father, we bow before you, asking for your divine direction in these several minutes we're going to commit. Open our hearts, open our ears. May the simplicity of your word will come forth. Bless us together as a congregation. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. First of all, Pastor Victor, thank you for allowing me to share your pulpit to come and visit with you. It's a joy for me to come. I know my wife is in here because I'm hanging out in Seattle for 2 days due to my business trip. And so Molly is still in Olympia. Can't wait to the service to get over to tell her what she missed. But thank you for allowing me to come and join with you in worshiping the Almighty God in the spirit and in truth. Book of Revelation, chapter 11, brings out this particular verse number 1, and he says, I was given a reed like a measuring rod and was told, go and measure the temple of God and the altar and count the worshipers that therein. Three elements being identified and was given a measuring rod which will used to determine whether they fit, whether they measure up according to the divine standard being established by God. So here, John is seeing God is giving a measuring rod to measure the temple, the altar, of course, the worshipers. And I certainly don't have enough time to go through all three of them, but allow me to extract one element from there and focus on worship. What is worship? I don't know whether we can truly justifiably define the word worship. It is like the word love. You can't define the word love. Love is kind. Come on, speak to me. Love is kind. Love is patient. Love is gentle. So what we do, instead of coming a proper definition for the word love, we will describe what love is.
Amen.
Yeah. I knew it was a lively group earlier, so. We can describe the word love. Same way the word we're trying to attempt to. Oh, you can't hear me? Oh, okay. We can define the word worship. People have attempted to define that. Some people will say worship means to prostrate in a homage to the royalty of God, to bow down and fall down. I don't know what that means. However, Bible is very clear how to worship God. Let's start with what Jesus said in Gospel of John, chapter 4, verses 23 to 24. Gospel of John, chapter 4. God is spirit, and those who worship him must worship him in spirit and in truth. That was the divine measuring standard that Jesus has established, and he said, we must worship him in spirit and in truth. What does that mean to us? What does that mean, worshiping the Father who is spirit, and worshiping him in spirit? My understanding is this. As individuals, our spirit is being redeemed by the precious blood of Jesus. Amen? Amen? So when we invited Jesus to come and reside in our life, when we declare he is the Lord and master of my life, the divine Holy Spirit come and start abiding in my life. Now that point on, I have a redeemed spirit by the power of God. When that redeemed spirit entering into the presence of God, I'm beginning to worship, the Holy Spirit begin to come and stir that redeemed spirit in me, which will cause adoration, love, respect, reverence, so that will continuously flow out of my mouth and say, oh God, I want to love you, I want to praise you, I want to worship you, because you have redeemed my spirit. So the Holy Spirit and the redeemed spirit join together and merge together, creates an atmosphere
that God who is spirit, I want to be united with him. Hallelujah. The other aspect of it, God, Jesus said, worship him in truth. And Jesus said, sanctify them in the truth, and thy word is truth. So that means we must worship him according to the written word of God. So what happens when we begin to comply with the methods and the ways to worship God, the redeemed spirit of mine will come and join and say, oh God, I cannot help, but I have to be in your presence, singing, shouting, clapping, and dancing, musical instruments. All this becomes part of my praise and worship. Hallelujah. I said earlier, you can't really truly define the word worship, but you can describe it. Let me give you about 9 different ways that we can express our worship. First of all, Psalm 95, verse number 1. Oh, come, let us sing unto the Lord. Let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Yes. When we come together Sunday morning or Wednesday night or Sunday night or Saturday night, why do we sing? Because it is written in the Word of God that we should come with the singing unto the Almighty God. Hallelujah. He called me out of the darkness into the marvelous light, and he put a new song in my mouth, and every time I get together, I will declare and sing a new song unto the Almighty God. We express our worship through singing when we come together. Amen. Number 2, Psalm 51, verses 15 through 17. Hallelujah. Amen. The second way we express our worship is through our lips. Oh Lord, open thy lips, and my mouth shall declare it. My mouth shall go so forth the praises of my God. Amen. This morning I heard from Pastor Matthew mention a lamp costing $350. When I read this particular portion of scripture, here's what I see. David was an Old Testament prophet who captured the New Testament vision of a worship. He is residing under the Old Testament, under the Old Covenant, where the animal sacrifices were taking place. Am I correct? Yes. But at the same token, God is giving him a divine revelation. And he says, oh God, if you were interested in animal sacrifices, I would have given to you. But your dear, real desire is this, a broken and a contrite heart. Oh God, you will never despise. We come before our Almighty God. We come before him, and with a broken heart and a contrite heart, no matter what circumstances you and I have gone through, when you come into the presence of God, a broken and a contrite heart, my God will never reject you, never despise you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Aren't you glad Pastor Victor doesn't have to stand outside and killing all these animals this morning? It has already done for once and for all on the cross of Calvary. The final lamb, when John the Baptist said, "Behold the Lamb of God," he walked out and walked on the Calvary, but died for you and me. Therefore, I do not have to come up with an animal. I do not have to come up with the word. My lamb was slain for me and for all my sins. Hallelujah. The third expression of worship is shouting. Psalm 5 verse 11. Hallelujah. Let all those put their trust in thee rejoice. Let them ever shout for joy. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Is there a shout in the house? Is there a shout in the house? Because I am rejoicing for the marvelous faithfulness of Almighty God. He has been so good to us. And I can raise my voice and shout and say, "Oh God, you are worthy to receive all the praises and the glory and the honor." Shouting is an expression of our worship. Hallelujah. Number four. Psalm 47 verse number 1. For the sake of time, let me kind of quote it. "Oh, clap your hands, holy people. Shout unto God with the voice of triumph." I don't believe the worship leaders have to tell us to clap our hands. I don't believe the worship leaders have to say, "Shout unto the Lord," because it is written in the Word of God, and God is expecting us to come together. When there is singing, when there is joy, there will be a clapping in the presence of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Number five, the lifting up of hands. Psalm 134 verse number 2 tells us this. "Lifting up your hands in the sanctuary and bless the Lord." Hallelujah. We have sung several songs this morning and endorsing the same concept. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Bless the Lord, oh my soul. Lifting up your hands, it is a total surrender to Him and say, "Oh God, I want to bless you. I want to bless you." By lifting up my hands, a bank robber walked in there and said, "Lift your hands." So he has a gun in your hand, in his hand. You don't question that person. Stick up. Hello? When you recognize you're in the sanctuary in the presence of God, what did you bring tonight? In the presence of God. What's the offering that you and I have to offer? Lifting up of my hands. Oh God, let these clean hands will be lifted up so that you will receive the praise and the glory and the honor. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. Next, number six is music and musicians with the instruments. Psalm 150 verses 3 through 6. Praise Him with the sound of trumpets. Praise Him with the psaltery and the harp. Praise Him with the timbrel and dance. Praise Him with the stringed instruments and organs. Praise Him upon the loud cymbals. Praise Him upon the high sounding cymbals. Let everything that hath the breath praise the Lord. Praise ye the Lord. I thank God for the talents God has blessed in this fellowship. This musical instrument is good to declare the glory and the honor of God, because He says this, these are anointed, these are blessed, because we used to express our worship before God. Hallelujah. Every musical instrument, we begin to share and anoint, oh God, because it declares the glory of God. Hallelujah. Psalm 134 verse number 1, number 7 tells us the expression of standing. "Behold, bless ye the Lord, all ye servants of the Lord, which by night stand in the house of the Lord." There's the one position in the Bible do not mention when we come together to worship, that is sitting down. You won't see it. However, I understand some of us are getting old, and I understand some of our knees get a little bit shaky. It's okay. However, when we stand, there's something about revering the presence of God. Oh God, I stand in your awesome presence of God and worship. And he expresses, he expects that kind of a worship. Number 8, 95, Psalm 95, verse number 6 says, oh come, let us worship and bow down. Let us kneel before the Lord our Maker. Hallelujah. Bowing is an expression of our worship before Almighty God. Number 9, of course, I already read and alluded to the fact that dancing. Psalm 149, verse 3 says, let them praise his name in the dance. Let them sing praises unto him with the timbrel and harp. Hallelujah. It's about time the anointing comes upon you as the leadership lead you. It's okay to have that feet moving because there's a certain amount of anointing come upon you and you begin to express your worship to Almighty God through dances. Dance has such a different connotation, and I would encourage you, don't do it unless the leadership directs you, okay? Because I don't want to get things out of hand, and I said, I will be leaving, then Pastor Victor has to correct everybody. But I tell you, when the anointing comes upon you, there will be shaking, there will be dancing, there will be a true expression of worship to Almighty God. Hallelujah. But when we do, these 9, there are more additional expressions in the Bible. For the sake of time, let me finish it with the 9 of these. When we do that, what can we expect? That is the results of the benefits. When we do, according to the Word of God, these are the expression of our worship. When we do that, what can we express? Would you read the book of Job, chapter 36, verses 27 through 29? I'm just getting warmed up here. Book of Job, chapter 36, verses 27 through 29. Yes. Somebody will read that from the English version too. Anybody has an English version? Thank you, sister. Go ahead.
You need to hear this loud.
He draws up the drops of water which distill as rain to the streams. The clouds pour down their moisture, and abundant showers fall on mankind. Who can understand how he spreads out the clouds, how he thunders from his pavilion?
Who can understand the spreadings of the clouds? Who can understand the noise that is coming from the tabernacle? Bear with me. First of all, when we begin to worship God according to the written word of God, we can definitely expect the rain of God coming down to our midst. Here's what Job is saying. He's saying, who can understand the spreadings of the cloud? How does the cloud form? The sun rises and its rays sets upon the body of water, and the steam will go up there and it will form a cloud. Yes?
Yes.
It's been a long time I was in my science classes. Somebody help me, okay? So far, good. Thank you, Pastor. So the clouds are formed. The steam that went up the clouds are formed. Then that cloud will come down to the earth in the form of a water, and we call them rain. It's happening in Seattle right now. So then Job is saying, who can understand the noises in the tabernacle? Here's what I see in there. We are the tabernacle of God. God resides in me and in you. Hallelujah. We are the tabernacle. Who can understand the noises in the tabernacle? Here's what happens. Just like in the natural, so is in the spiritual. Just like the steam that caused the vapor to cause the steam to go up there and forming the clouds, same way, Chakotai, when you sit back there in your seat and you begin to open your mouth and you begin to shout and express the praise and worship, there is a one vapor will begin to go up. Then Pastor Matthew, you sit in the front as a tabernacle, you begin to produce some sound, and there goes another. Oh God, you're worthy to receive the praise and the glory and the honor. So the vapor begins to go from here. A vapor goes from here, from the children. A vapor will go out from that corner, this corner. All on a sudden, I see a cloud forming together. That cloud's none other than the very presence of God. And the blessings of God will come upon His children. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Glory to God. Glory to God. I expected God pour out His blessing upon the IPA this morning. Because there is a group of people believe and they begin to worship and they begin to express their worship to God according to the written word of God. You do not have to worry because the blessings of God is coming upon you. You had a prophetic word this morning. There's a bigger and better and more things yet to come for this place because you are crying out to the Lord. Hallelujah.
Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah.
Deuteronomy chapter 11, verses 10 through 11. Deuteronomy. Hallelujah. Nation of Israel was in the land of Egypt for a long time. They cultivated the crops. The harvesting is taking place. But prior to that, they only had one river called River Nile. And they irrigated the water with the pumping with their foot. And those of us who came from Kerala, it's not a strange phenomenon. Because we have seen in the rice field, some man will sit there for 8 hours.
Chakram.
He will be pumping those leaves of wood and get the water from the river or the canal or wherever and get to the right place. Hello? And God is instructing Moses, tell him, but the land you're going to possess is no longer a plain ground where you can bump the water with your foot. Because the land you're going to possess is full of hills and valleys. Right? The only way you can get the water in there is only through the rain. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. You know, I got to be careful how I say it. This is not about this church. I can talk about my dad's church in Hebron. How's that for a minute? Oh, you're here. Oh, gee. Is he the only one from Hebron? Okay. I have witnesses. There were my dad, who was a preacher, was a pastor there for a long time, and then there was a certain song we sang. There was an anointing. It almost like that song we sang this morning, Aradhana. Somebody has to help me to close this service when I finish singing that song again, okay? Aradhana, Aradhana. There was certain anointing came upon. I remember my dad. If that song was so good and it moved the people, sing it again. Pump it. Sing it again. If that song helped the people to move, guess what? Sing it again. Pump it. May I say this to you? We don't have to pump it. We do not have to pump it to get the anointing going. Because when you and I come and we begin to worship according to the written word of God, I tell you, I see the clouds forming. I see the rain is going to come upon the hills and the valley. Whether you have a hillside experience or whether you have a low valley experience, blessings of God is going to be upon you, the top and the bottom, and the top experience as well as the lower experience. He will never leave you. He'll never leave you. Glory to God. Second, the benefit of praise and worship is it brings the presence of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. 2 Chronicles chapter 5, verses 13 to 14. Hallelujah. Here at the dedicatory service of Solomon's temple, he appointed 120 singers. They're all line up and begin to proclaim the singing. Oh God, how merciful you are. Your goodness and mercy endureth forever. As they begin to declare that statement, the cloud came down and the presence of God filled the temple. Hallelujah. Just like what happened in the Old Testament at the dedicatory service, 120 people, singers got together. We can see in the New Testament, in the day of Pentecost, on the day of Pentecost, 120 people gathered together waiting for the mighty rush of wind of the Holy Spirit. When they came upon, they begin to see a Shekinah glory came down and hovering upon that temple. The very presence of God will reside and abide with all His people who call on Him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And you begin to stand there. Then you recognize and say, be still and know that I am God. He will move such an awesome way, and He will take you, and He will transport you. He will transform you in such an awesome way. Hallelujah. Number three, this worship brings forth the power of God. 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verses 21 to 22. Don't read it. You know the story. Jehoshaphat, he's going out to battle. Ammonites, Moabites, they all are gathered around to destroy the Judah. But God's word was to him, declare and you begin to sing a song. What happened? The result of singing and praising God brought ambushments and confusion in the midst of the enemies. May I say to you today, when you go through and the enemy come to attack you, you begin to sing songs of praises. You begin to shout the praises of God unto Him, and the enemy will know what to do. He will not know what to do. He will be confusion and chaos in his camp, and you will walk out with the victory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Just like Paul and Silas were in the jail, they were being bound. But at the midnight, they begin to clap their hands and sing in song. Oh, the chains were loose. Hallelujah. If you are bound this morning, I'll have a word for you too. When you enter into the presence of God, when you begin to shout and sing and clapping your hands, the bondage will be broken off. You will be set free, and there will be release in your spirit. And God will set you and move you to the victory of God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Isaiah 61 tells us we'll have victory in our defeated spirit. He said, turn your ashes into beauty. Turn your mourning into joy. Where the spirit of heaviness, let there be praises. Hallelujah. 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 You might be consumed by something in your past. May I say to you, my God is a big God, can turn that ashes into beauty. If you're going through the morning, may I say to you, my God is a big God, can turn that morning into joy. When you feel downcasted, you are down and depressed, and I have word for you, the praise of God will bring you up from that kind of condition. We are the priest, the royal priesthood unto God. We come together this morning to offer our sacrifices unto Him. Sacrifices of thanksgiving, sacrifices of joy, and sacrifices of from your heart, my God will never despise. May God help us to be that kind of priest who continue to move in our midst as we enter into praise and worship. God bless you.